Luke chapter 18, beginning verse 9. Thank you again for being here. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. For I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the publican, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Jesus gives a parable about two men. There's a Pharisee. He's a religious man. He says some things about himself, tell you the truth, that was factual. He talked about the things that he did, he talked about the things that he was, and he said the truth. He was what we would call a good man. He was a moral man. He was what we would call a good man. We would say it's good-hearted. That's not factual, not biblical, but we would say he's a good-hearted man. He'll do anything he can for you. He is a good soul. The Pharisee was a good man, but there was another man in the temple that day. He was a publican. A publican was a despised man. A publican was a tax collector. That's bad enough in our day. You don't like IRS calling on you, I promise you that. They ever come knocking at your door, I'm sure you're not going to be glad about the visit. But a tax collector in that day was a varmint. Most of them were Jews, and they got taxes from Jews to give to Rome. And they would abuse, and they would steal, and they would rob a fellow Jew, robbing a fellow Jew to give to a foreign nation or the country of Rome. So they were despised. He was a sinner. He was a man who did wrong. He was a man who would be willing to cheat his own brother if he could just make another buck. So we have the Pharisee. He's a good man, we would say, and so did he. We have the publican. We'd say he's a bad man. He's a sinful man. So we have two men, both of them in church. Both of them came to the same place doing the same thing. So we have a good man and a bad man. I want to try to preach this morning on this subject. When a good man goes to hell and a bad man goes to heaven, that's exactly what we're going to find in these verses. We look first at their place. It says in verse 10, two men went up into the temple. They're both at church. They both come to the house of God. They come to the right place, but for the wrong reason, at least one of them. They find themselves in God's house, that place that had been set aside for worship, that place that had been set aside where people could come and hear from God's Word and hear what God said and let God speak to them. They're both in the temple. They're both at the church. They're both at the same place. They're both at the place where they can, if they will listen, hear God. Such is the case this morning. You're here in the house of God. But this building itself is just a building. I think it's a nice building. I think it glorifies God and honors Him. I think it's presentable, but it's a building. I think we ought to honor it and respect it and make sure we act right and look right when we come here. But it's just a building. This building does not impart grace. There's not something that's automatic every time we come here. The Lord moving is not automatic. The Lord speaking to your heart does not automatically happen. This is just a building. It's a place that has been designated where we can come, and if God will speak, we can hear Him. And if He speaks, we can get some help. Both of these men are in the same place. Both of these men came to church. Both of these men were there in the house of God. But I want to say again, coming here doesn't do a lot for you. Going to church doesn't do a lot for you. Just coming to church may do nothing for you this morning. It could change your life. God can say something so real that you would never be the same. But it won't be just because you came to church, because this is just a building. If God speaks, it'll be because of His mercy and grace. And how we need to realize how important it is to listen when He speaks. This is just a place. This is a building. This is a house where God has designated where He can speak to people if they will listen. Here's my point. Here's two men who came to the same place, and the place didn't change the people. What God did changed them. What God could have spoken to them could have changed them. But the fact that they came did them no good, not by itself. I'm trying to say this. I'm glad you're here this morning. But being here by itself will not change your life. Only what God does. You know, there's people who have their name on church rolls. There's people who have been baptized. There's people who have come to church faithfully for years, not just this church, but other churches too, who have been faithful to attendance, who have their name on the church roll, and yet they're not saved. They're not heaven bound. Here's two men who come to the same place. They come to the house of God. Both of them need help, but only one of them got the help they needed. I want to say this morning, I want to ask you a question. Is your name on the church roll or heaven's roll? Have you been through the baptism of waters and thought that that got you closer to God? I want to tell you something, it didn't. Boy, the only thing that'll help us, the only thing that'll save us is the blood of Christ. Being in church, being faithful to church. You can hold an office in this church. That's not going to get you closer to God. It does not guarantee you a place in heaven. Here's two men in the same place. Not only their place, but their purpose. They came for the same reason. They came doing the same thing. In verse 10 it says, two men went up in the temple to pray. Both of them had the same purpose. They did not come undoubtedly to show off. They did not come to show their new clothes off or to see who was there or to see the who's who or to be recognized or get attention. They both came for the same purpose. They came to pray. They came to talk to God. They did not come to see and be seen. They came to talk to God. They had the same purpose. And that's ought to be the reason why we're here this morning, that we might hear from God, that we might tell Him, Lord, speak to me, that we might get right with Him if we need to. There's one reason they came, and that was that they might talk to God. Now, both of them came from completely different places. One thought he was good, and one thought that he was bad. But they're both talking to God. Their purpose was to talk to God. Hey, they both believed in God. I overheard a preacher the other day talking to a man over the phone, and I was not eavesdropping. I was just sitting beside him and heard the conversation. And when I first started talking, I could tell the man that he was talking to was struggling about salvation, but he believed that he was saved. Over the course of about 10 minutes, I realized by listening to this preacher talk over the phone that the man was not saved, but he was deceived. He thought he was saved because he had done good. He believed in God. Here's what the preacher said. He said, do you believe Jesus died on the cross for you? The man undoubtedly said yes. The preacher said, do you believe that he rose again 3 days later? The man undoubtedly said yes. He said, do you believe that you're a sinner? The man undoubtedly said yes. And here's what the preacher said. That's why I'm thinking about it now. The preacher said, you believe the gospel in your head. But I want to ask you, have you believed it in your heart? I would dare say most people, probably all people, every person here probably believes in God. I don't think there's any confusion about that. I don't think there's anybody doubting whether there's a God. I hope you aren't, because there is a God. Probably most of us would believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Probably most, if not all of us, would believe that and would say, yes, I believe it. I hope all would say, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. I know I've failed God. I know I am a sinner. I hope all would agree with that. But I know this, whether we agree with it or not, it's true. There is a God, and He's in charge of heaven, and He's in charge of hell. And we will go to heaven or hell when we die. And it will be determined by one thing and one thing only, what you do with Jesus. Here's two men, they're both in church, and they're both praying. That means they both believe in God. They both know they need to talk to Him. Not only their place and their purpose, but let's look at their posture. Look in verse 11 and look at the Pharisee. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself. Look in verse 13. And the publican standing afar off. The posture of both men is the same. They're both in the same position. They're both standing, but their actions are different. Their actions are different because their attitude is different. They're both standing, but one stands in pride and one stands in remorse. One stands in braggadocio and talking about what he had done and who he is, but one is standing with his head down and he's broken because he sees who he is. Their posture is the same, but their attitude is different. One says, I'm morally good. And he was. I mean, listen to what he does. He's in church, probably was there the week before. He fasts, he gives, he tithes. He makes a long list of things that he has not done. He is what we would call a good moral man. He's standing and talking to God. And one is standing and looking down in remorse, broken over his condition. They have the same posture, but they have different attitudes because they see themselves in totally different lights. One sees himself as he thinks he is, a good man, a moral man. One sees himself as he really is, a sinner, and not worthy of anything but judgment and condemnation. Their posture is the same, but their attitude is different. We need to realize, no matter what standing in life, no matter how good you think you are, and maybe you are, no matter how bad you think you are, you may be the best, morally speaking, person on earth. I don't know who is, but you may be. You may be the worst sinner, the most rotten, wretched sinner on earth. I don't know who he is, but maybe you are. But I do know this. No matter how good you are, you still need forgiveness. And no matter how bad you are, there's still forgiveness available. Here's these two men that realize, totally different things. Let's look at their prayers. The Pharisee's prayer His denial, look in verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He's praying, but he's sort of talking to himself too. Because he's counting on who he is and what he's done. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. We have no suggestion whatsoever that the man lied. He is saying, I am glad I'm not like other men. That word men means the rest of mankind. And he gives a list of things he had not done. We have no reason whatsoever to think that he was wrong. He had not done these things. He was a good moral man. He's denying his true condition, though. Look at his declaration as he prays. Look in verse 12. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. He not only says, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do that, and I sure don't do that. He did not just say, I don't do that. He says, I do this. I don't do those wrong things that so many other people do. There's a lot of good things I do. And if that's your attitude, you're in trouble. He's talking about who he is and what he's done. And the devil will make you think you're not near as bad as a lot of people. You don't get out and stay drunk all the time. You don't run down to the red light district. You're not out on drugs like so many are. You're not a cheater. You're not an extortioner. There's a whole lot of things that others do, and boy, you don't do them. You're a pretty good person. And maybe he doesn't just whisper in your ear and remind you all you don't do. He may be whispering in your ear and tell you all the things you do. I mean, after all, you're here on church on Sunday morning. That's a good thing. And you try to be nice to people and you try to give when it's right. You try to be kind. You try to be a good citizen. You talk about all the things you don't do, and you talk about all the things you do. That's what he's praying. His prayer is a declaration of who he thought he was. And his dependence, we see as he prays, is he's dependent on himself. He said, God, I know you're pleased with me. Because I know what I've done, and I know what I haven't done. What does that mean? He's depending on himself. Self-effort, self-good, morals, don't do wrong, do right. That dependence is upon himself. He's depending on himself and his goodness, who he is and what he's done. And there's a whole lot of people in church this morning doing the same thing, and they think that's going to get them in heaven. They think that's going to please God. We're going to find out if it does or not. I'm talking about their prayers. They're praying. The Pharisee prayed, and he talks about his dependence upon himself. But he's deceived. He's relying on himself in essence. He's thinks, I'm good enough. Look what I haven't done. Look what I have done. He's relying on himself. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now this man, as far as morals, man, he's way down the road in front of the average person. I mean, my goodness, as far as morals, as far as doing right and not doing wrong, he was way down the road above, way out beyond the average person. Most people didn't do like he did. Most people didn't live as clean as he did. Most people weren't as presentable and as moral as him. He was way on down the road above most people, the average person. But the Bible says even he, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He may have been way above the average, but he wasn't far enough to please God. It's like I've used this illustration before. We go down to the beach tomorrow morning. And all of us are down there at the shore. And we're going to jump over the ocean. Every one of us. Take a running jump. Some of us won't make 2 inches. Some may make 5 feet, 10 feet, maybe even longer. But I do know this. Ain't nobody going to jump to the other side of the ocean. We're all going to come up short. Just because I can't go but 2 inches and you go 20 feet, that doesn't mean you made it. You still fall far short. God says that's how it is with us trying to do good enough to go to heaven. You may be better than most. You may be the best there is. But you still fall far short from pleasing God or getting to heaven. His deception. He thought what he did and who he was enough to please God. But he was wrong because he was a sinner. Good man, yes. Do good, yes. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Wonder if he meant that. There is none righteous, no, not one. That doesn't mean there aren't many. There's only a few. That's not what he said. He said, there is none righteous, no person on earth that's right enough to please God on their own. Not one. All fall far short. Here's a good moral man, but he's not good enough. The Pharisee's prayer. Now let's look at the publican's prayer. We're talking about two men came to the same place, same church, and they both prayed. Pharisee stood and looked up to God and said, boy, I am so glad I'm not like most people. I am so glad I don't do this and I don't do that. And I am so glad I have done right. But then the publican also prayed in verse 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Could have noticed the verse in this prayer, his distance. Well, I don't know, but I guarantee you that Pharisee's right up near the front. When he stood, boy, he made sure everybody heard him. Because he knew he was a good person. And he was, humanly speaking. He knew he had done a lot of good things. And he had. But that didn't make him right with God. That didn't get him closer to God. In fact, it got him further from God. Because he was depending on himself. He was depending on his own good deeds. He was depending on his own morality. And friend, I want to tell you, that displeases God. It dishonors God. It angers God. And I don't blame him. Because we're saying, I'm good enough to get to heaven. I don't need your son. I don't need forgiveness. My good deeds are enough. My self-effort is enough. What I haven't done that's bad and what I have done that's good is enough. That self-effort, that sin, that self-dependence. And that's what the Pharisee was. But the publican's prayer, we find him standing afar off. He don't even think he's worthy to be in the place. He's way in the back pew. That's not endorsing back pew sitting, but that's where he was. He was in the back. He was as far away in that building as he could get and still be in the building because he saw himself. The distance, he was far off because he saw himself not worthy. He saw himself as he was. He saw God as he was. He saw God as holy. He saw God as pure. He saw himself as a sinner. He saw himself as he was. That's why he stood afar off. That's why his distance was so far from the front of the church. You know, nobody wants to admit their faults. Nobody wants to admit their sinfulness. Nobody wants to admit to themselves or to others, let alone to God, that they're a sinner. But he knows he's a sinner. He knows he's a sinner. And that's why from a distance, he says, I'm not worthy to approach God, but I need God. I'm not worthy to go to the front, but I know this, I need help. His distance is involved with this prayer. Notice his disgrace. He smote upon his breast. He's looking down and he's beating on himself. He is in anguish, broken. If you're saved, you know what that's like. I promise you. If you do not know the anguish of conviction, see what's happened to that publican? God has shown him his true condition. And he is so broken. He is so disgraced by his sin. He's not looking up proud like the Pharisee. He's not bragging on his deeds and talking about his accomplishments. He's looking down and beating on himself in disgrace. I'll say it again. If you're saved, you know what that is. If you do not know about Holy Ghost conviction, you're not saved. I'm glad you're here. You may be a member. You may come all the time. You may hold a position. You may sing, play, teach. You may whatever. But if you do not know what old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction is, you are not saved. Because Holy Ghost conviction is the prerequisite of getting saved. It is when we see ourselves a sinner and we know we have grieved a holy God and we know like this publican, my only hope is that he has mercy on me. Mercy means I don't deserve it. Mercy means I cannot merit it. I cannot do good enough to please God. His disgrace. He is disgraced about himself. He is broken about his condition. He sees himself as he is a sinner. And in this prayer, we also see his dependence. He says, God, be merciful. He's not like the Pharisee trusting in himself. He is trusting only in God. He knows his only hope is God. He knows his only hope is that God would have mercy, and he comes like a beggar begging somebody for a coin. It's like you fell off a boat in the middle of the ocean and you can't swim. And you're going down to the third time and you're crying out for help, and somebody reaches out their hand to pull you out. You're so weak you can't even raise your hand. They grab you by the collar and pull you out. That's what you need to be before God. That's what we need to realize ourselves as. We're going down. We cannot help ourselves. If somebody doesn't have mercy, if somebody didn't reach out and pull us out of our mess, we're going to go to hell. That's exactly what we need to be like before we get saved. And that's where this man had gotten. I have taught this morning about two men. One was a good man. One was a bad man. I've talked about their place and their posture and their position and their prayers. Let me close by saying this. Their parting. Verse 14 says, I tell you, this man went down to his house. There came a time when the service ended. There came a time when both men left. They both parted. And before long, this service will end. And I hope before it ends, every person here will make sure they're saved. Every person here will make certain if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven instead of hell. I hope and I'm praying that every person, there's people I'm convinced that's deceived. They think they're saved, but they're not. My prayer is, my desire is, my plea to God is that every one of us, when we leave, when we part in a few minutes, that we'll know for sure we're going to heaven instead of hell. But the parting I'm talking about this morning is not when they left church that day. The Lord said it like this: this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. One left saved, one left still going to hell. One left saved, one left lost. One left going to heaven, one left going to hell. But that's not what I'm talking about. Their parting didn't happen that day when church ended. Not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the parting later on that nobody knows when except for them and God. When that good man, that Pharisee, that said, honestly, I have done the best I can. I think that's good enough. I have not lived like so many. I don't see why that's not good enough. That good man one day parted this world. That bad man, that publican, one day parted this world. The good man morally went to hell. The bad man morally went to heaven. That doesn't make sense to us except for one thing. When we realize the good man morally left this world still trusting in himself. There's people that come to church every week, not just this church, but this church, that are depending on their goodness. And the bad thing about it is when they leave this world, when they part, they'll find out too late their goodness was not good enough. This man, this good man, when he parted, went to hell, and he's still there right now. And he's no closer to getting out now than he was when he first went in there. One day the Lord will bring them out and cast them all into the lake of fire, and they'll stay there forever. And if you don't get saved, friend, that's where you'll go also. But you don't have to. The good man went to hell and the bad man went to heaven because he realized, I am a sinner and my only hope is Jesus Christ. Trusting Him, depending on Him. He died for me. He died in my place. He paid the debt I owed, paid in full. It's certainly true. And when he parted, when he died, he went to heaven, and he's still there right now. And he'll stay there forever. My question is this: where are you, morally speaking? The bottom line is this: you're either saved or you're lost. You're right now at this point either heading to heaven or you're heading to hell. And the only way we can escape hell and enjoy heaven is by realizing, I know I'm a sinner. I know I am a sinner, just like God said. I believe His Son died for me. I believe He rose again to buy victory for me. I'm coming to the Lord. I'm hearing His call. Lord, I want You to forgive me. Thank You so much for what You did for me on the cross. I'm giving myself to You. Please forgive me. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. But I'm coming in and asking You for mercy. You know what? You'll find mercy. This bad man found mercy that day, and he left justified. My prayer is that there'll be some folks that do that this morning. Let's stand together.